Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the path that's always winding upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause this heart to tremble, remember there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning. I am teaching about the unregistered church. This is going to be part two. To get the full two episodes of this broadcast on the unregistered church, go to freedom95.us/podcast. Let's join in and hear the second part to the unregistered church. Christ has two natures. He is 100% God and 100% man. He is the God-man. Also, in order for a person to have eternal life, they must have two births, physical and spiritual. Jesus taught Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Two births are necessary for the redeemed child of God. So back to the discussion of the unbiblical position of the incorporated church, a corporation's officers are the resident agent and the board of trustees. The board of trustees is an appointed or elected group of individuals that has overall responsibility for the management of the corporation. A board of trustees is typically the governing body of an incorporated organization and seeks to ensure the best interest of the stakeholders in all types of management decisions. The pastor then becomes an employee of the corporation instead of the shepherd of the flock. True, Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd, but the pastor, elder, or bishop, three different titles for the same office, is the ordained under-shepherd or overseer leading the congregation in the paths of righteousness as he follows the will of God. In an incorporated church, the pastor becomes a hireling governed by the trustees who lord over him. Note what Jesus said about a hireling. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. A hireling does not become integrated with his flock, protecting it until the bitter end of the spiritual storm, but flees when the going gets tough. A corporation is a legal entity, not a lawful entity. Jesus Christ is the one and only lawgiver. A corporation is a legal entity created through the statutes of the state's incorporation codification. Individual states have the power to promulgate laws relating to the creation, organization, and dissolution of the corporations. State corporation statutes require articles of incorporation to document the corporation's creation and to provide provisions regarding the management of internal affairs, differing from a church's articles of faith. Most state corporation statutes also operate under the assumption that each corporation will adopt bylaws according to public policy to define the rights and obligations of officers, persons, and groups within its structures. And these may be quite contrary to scriptural mandates. So what happens when the statutes and laws of the state contradict the laws of God? Well, whose laws will the church uphold? You will say, that's easy. I will follow God's law. Really? Are you then willing to do battle with the state and potentially lose and have your federal tax-exempt status revoked and your church financially penalized by the state and pay exorbitant property taxes on your church property, or even worse, have your church property seized? Are you really willing to do that? You and all your trustees, are you really willing to do that? You may want to examine that scenario carefully because, Pastor, your board has fiduciary responsibility for the church corporation, and they will be quick to throw you to the wolves rather than get involved in a legal battle in the courts that could become scandalous or painful for them and the church, or jeopardize their prestigious credibility in the community. This has happened time and time again, with pastors being kicked to the curb because the Board of Trustees did not want to take a stand on a particular biblical matter. And a judge has no problem calling into court the trustees of a corporation and stipulating their obligation to comply to their state master or face retribution. If a church desires to dissolve their corporation and become unincorporated in obedience to Christ, the trustees must be willing to humble themselves and relinquish their power over the church, a difficult hurdle to overcome because typical human nature becomes drunk with power. Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Note Peter's urging of pastors in his first epistle. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Elders of the church are not the deacons, but the pastors. They are not the trustees of the corporation. The trustees are not the elders. Though your church may call them that, they are not the biblical overseers, but the overseers for the state. But please be attentive to this revelation. Pastors only are the trustees of the church in the following spiritual sense. Paul was entrusting the glorious gospel and the office of the pastor to his successor, Timothy, and said, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Paul himself was entrusted with the entire gospel given to him by Christ and the Holy Spirit, which includes the doctrine of the church. Paul said in Timothy also, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Nothing in that committed trust warrants the pastor to incorporate the church. Or let me put it more succinctly, marry the church to the state. Nothing in Scripture instructs the church to climb in bed with the civil government. King David in Psalm 139 understood that he could make his bed in hell, and that is exactly what the church has done. The churches in America have jumped in the sack with this hellish, overbloated state and federal government that have severely overstepped the constitutional limitations that were designed to constrain them. Scripturally, pastors lead the church as a shepherd leads a flock of sheep. Jesus Christ did not appoint a committee to lead the church. Sheep cannot survive without a shepherd. They have no natural defense mechanism. They will then fall prey to the wolves and roving lions. Regularly scheduled business meetings are a requirement for corporations, not the church. So much hate, envy, and jealousy fill those hours of incorporated church business meetings, and you know that as well as I do. The untold bickering in those business meetings is unholy and unpleasant to the Lord. Worship, prayer, and Bible instruction services that include baptism and communion are all that are commanded from the Lord for His unincorporated, unregistered churches. Does not our Lord teach us through the Holy Spirit that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus? Is this not a faithful saying? Does the church not believe this today? If it is true, why does the church seek a subservient status from the state for a tax-deductible gift? Why does the church cripple herself spiritually for these earthly crumbs? If one gives to the church in order to attain a financial earthly reward of a tax deduction, then he has received his reward and forgoes his reward in heaven. Jesus teaches us in his Sermon on the Mount, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The church is an institution from God above, not the earth beneath. A corporation is an institution from the earth beneath, created by man. The Lord does not share his glory with anyone, especially the secular government of any nation or state. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Either the Lord will make the church rich or the state, and hence either one or the other will get the glory, but not both. And if your church is a tax-exempt corporation, the satanic state will boast that they have made the church rich through their tax-deductible gifts just to keep her on their leash. If the church loves her earthly riches from her tax-deductible gifts and not-for-profit status, which many churches relish, she will thus surely not hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Remember, the love of money is the root of all evil. Why did the churches incorporate? for the love of the tax-deductible state-sanctioned charitable gift that they thought would make them rich. Worldly riches, yes. Spiritually rich, no. Spiritually blind, yes. Remember what the Laodicean church boasted about. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And Jesus said, knowing not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This church was full of pride. It was prayerless and it was powerless. A sad condition for the church to be in. Brethren, hear me out. Are you sure you want that designation of a not-for-profit organization? Even though that expression is implying financial profit, but because the churches have sold their soul to the devil, they have forfeited their spiritual profitability in the community around them that includes the deadbeat, Christ-hating public schools. What saith the Lord about the not-for-profit status? Let's examine Isaiah chapter 30. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down to Egypt. Egypt is symbolic of the spiritually lost world all throughout Scripture. So it says here in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 2, that walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked of my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. Pharaoh is symbolic of the secular rulers and politicians, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be a help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper, the fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses and their treasures upon the bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seer, that means a prophet or preacher, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. They didn't want hard preaching. The Lord here is warning Israel not to put their trust in the strength of Egypt and her pharaohs, which will ultimately not profit them. The same can be said of the churches. Don't put your trust in the worldly government and her politicians because it will not profit you. If Christ and the Bible are banned from our American classrooms, we have lost the battle to reach our young children with the gospel, and our evangelism has been severely crippled. The church has not been profitable in this spiritual battle, and every Christian in America is compelled almost at gunpoint to finance secular humanism and Marxist teachings in the public schools through the unconstitutional mandated property tax. Without going into great depth on property tax, read and learn what a direct tax is spelled out in the U.S. Constitution. Very few understand what a direct tax is because we have surreptitiously been kept in the dark by our institutions of higher learning. The Freedom From Religion Foundation and the ACLU and other similar organizations take extreme joy in disarming the church's power so the church cannot silence or expose their ungodly antichrist agendas. The Church of America have lost their evangelistic power, which they once wielded with great success in converting many worldwide to Christ in the 1800s. Note also, America has not had another great awakening for 200 years when the great missionary efforts were birthed to convert the world. Today, the reprobate woke crowd spew their filthy antichrist, hate-filled platform all across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea. And where is the church? She is but gagged and bound, quivering over a non-issue microbe and cashing in on her stimulus checks. God help us. God help the church to anoint their eyes with spiritual eye salve to help them see in this spiritually dark age of unbelief. Don't get mad, get right with God. God has given us a similar warning in the New Testament. Paul is speaking to young Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preaching the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Paul is prophesying about a day and age when preachers will preach quaint sermonettes that ruffle no feathers. Sounds like America pulpits today. Oh, forgive me, I forgot. Churches aren't using pulpits today. The churches at the formation of this great nation preach tirelessly the spiritual truths of personal, religious, and civil liberty after the first great awakening. America became an independent nation because and only because the spiritual boldness and power of the pulpits that thundered these truths across the 13 colonies. Our independence as a nation from King George and the birth of our constitutional republic are accredited to the pulpits that thundered the spiritual truths found in the Word of God. These pulpits led the charge of their faithful men into battle to defend the heartland from enemies foreign and domestic. That is why the cancel culture has been rewriting history for the last century to erase the knowledge of the church's power under Christ to erect a unified nation under God. And Satan and his minions have done everything they can to undermine it ever since. Today, America is more emblematic of Sodom and Gomorrah, and that too will be accredited to the powerless, not-for-profit Laodicean pulpits. The churches are commissioned to steer the moral direction of a nation. America's moral condition has eroded drastically because the church's moral condition spiritually has eroded. Why? Because she has jumped into bed with the devil and his crowd of reprobate politicians and has forsaken the Lord and his sole authority, his sole sovereignty over the church. Incorporating the church in these latter days is no different than the Church of Rome letting Emperor Constantine be the head of the church in the 4th century. And look at how far they have strayed from the Word of God. I do not teach and preach this without a troubled heart. I am burdened for the churches of America that are so divided and powerless, which is the devil's doing. I am burdened for the church's repentance, restoration, and renewed spiritual power so we can reshape our nation to its former glory. Instead of this filthy wickedness and murderous violence, much like brute beasts of the wild, I say these hard things that are not easy to comprehend because it is what the Word of God proclaims to be all about. All Scripture, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, meaning censure for a fault. That's what reproof means. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Church incorporation is wrong and needs to be exposed and corrected. To admit our wrong takes courage, but to do right will be ultimately rewarded at the future judgment seat of Christ. However, reversing the church's long-standing error will not come about without a cost and possible hardships. You will be met with resistance even from the redeemed. Learn what a declaration of trust is from the Biblical Law Center and attorney Gerald Finney. Very few attorneys understand what a declaration of trust is. Gerald Finney has made it his lifelong work. Yes, there are churches across America waking up and unincorporating, but they are few. Do it today before it is eternally too late. Only when we restore the church to its greatness is it possible to restore America to its greatness. We have witnessed that even a strong man with a great resolve to make America great was canceled, deplatformed, and an election stolen from him by these reprobate darlings of Satan. When we trample upon the sanctity and purity of the Lord's church and God's holy word, God will allow the wicked heathen to trample upon our God-granted constitutionally protected rights, and that includes our Second Amendment. The U.S. Constitution is powerless without a moral Christian citizenry leading its preservation, and this can only come when the church is strengthened by the benevolent hand of God, when she is solely trusting in him for faith and practice. Again, these are hard sayings, but be encouraged, my friend. God can bring the increase. So, you now have a better than university level education on what the unregistered church is. Go now and make disciples around the world, teaching churches to never yield to state incorporation or registration. Once the church signs a state document to apply for a state benefit, she has relinquished her sovereignty to the state. Take the helm, pastors. Take the helm, church, and head into the wind because the storm is coming. May the Lord fill your sails to power your forward motion to be more than conquerors through him that loved us. And may the Lord bless your week as you meditate on this morally profound truth.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.